Well, when I first read the readings that were in the bulletin, I had, as a friend of mine says, a bit of a moment. Looking what had been printed as under Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1 and 22 to 31, and good catch, Diana, I'd forgotten to put the first verse on the readings that I distributed for everyone. Oh, Bob got that one. Thank you. So on first reading, it kind of weighed rather heavily on me after the heavy readings this morning that I preached on at 8 a.m. from Deuteronomy and Matthew's Gospel, which I'm going to say more about in a moment. There are some weeks you just can't let go of what you heard in the morning, and you might have to say something else. But then in a moment of clarity, having only quickly read through the bulletin, I realized that what was printed in the bulletin was not Proverbs at all. Proverbs chapter 8 is commonly known as the hymn to wisdom, or as the headings in the New Revised Standard Version, the version authorized for use in our diocese. It's called the Gifts of Wisdom, and the part that we heard this evening, Wisdom's Place in Creation. So that passage in the bulletin actually comes from the book of Amos, and it's a kind of a heavy bit of the book of Amos. And it has a very different background, a very different context to the compilation of teachings and musings that make up the book of Proverbs. No doubt one day I will have to preach on that part of Amos, but not today. And why I'm glad it's not today is because of the misuse of scripture that this morning's readings were a part of, or have been a part of. Firstly, in the Deuteronomy, I'm going to refresh your memory as we go through them if you haven't heard them yet. Firstly, in the Deuteronomy reading, there's a famous passage which is often referred to as the blessing and curse passage, where the author, purporting to speak for God, basically says, choose to follow the laws and commandments of God and you will live, or don't and you will die. It seems to be coming from a kind of penny in the slot, God rewards you for the good things and punishes you for the bad theology. And it leads to a dreadful mentality that could and still does blame natural and human disaster on the whims of a capricious God. Plane drops out of the sky? It's an act of God. Floods? Well, it's because of the loose morals of the nation, you know, particularly all that baking cakes for gay people. Earthquake? Well, obviously the result of, I don't know, family planning or funding abortion clinics or something. That wasn't the aim of the authors of Deuteronomy, which was to bring people back to the laws of justice and equity, as enshrined in Torah. But it is a kind of toxic theology that still lives on in the church today. Likewise, the reading from Matthew this morning was Jesus in full flow. If you look at a woman with lust, then you have committed adultery in your heart and you should tear your eye out. If you marry a divorced woman, then you are committing adultery. Alongside, if you are angry at your brother, it's as bad as murder. John gave a great interpretation of this passage, and I commend his sermon from this morning at 10 a.m. to you to watch or listen in the coming week if you can. So I'm not going to go into detail there, but I will say that, again, this passage is one of those that's been at the root of a very toxic theology, particularly a misogynist theology, where women have been blamed for inflaming lust in men, and it does not say that in the passage. Note how lusty men don't get the rap here. And I still see on so-called and badly named Christian Twitter, men posting, well, if you don't want men to look at you, don't wear tight skirts or short skirts or whatever. As if their own attitude is not to blame. Blame is shifted away from them. Purity, culture, toxicity. Ugh. John did not explicitly refer to this in his sermon, though it was implicit in much of what he said. And in this particular community, many of us would recognize the damaging and dangerous results of such ways of interpreting our scriptures. Well, okay, Alistair, I hear you think. Thanks for revisiting this morning's readings in a completely unasked for manner. But what about this evening's passages? Well, I chose to talk on this morning's readings, I say somewhat defensively, which is odd because I'm replying to myself. Partly because of the misprint in the bulletin this evening, and many of you would have read that, my sermon may well have been pretty miserable if I'd had to preach on that one. And partly because of the glorious contrast we have in this evening's readings, in the Hebrew scripture, and indeed in the vision from the book of Revelation that we have for tonight. This section of Proverbs is actually a beautiful, poetic, and I should say not in any way literal, reflection of God's intimate involvement in the created order. And wisdom, a word which in Hebrew is completely feminine, is intertwined with this creative work of the divine. So intertwined that theologians have speculated that wisdom might be interchangeable with spirit, and that this passage is an expression of the divine feminine at work. What a contrast to the misogyny and the patriarchy, which is so often drawn from or inspired by many interpretations of Scripture. And if we read these words and see God's deeply intimate relationship with creation, we should again be admonished to reconsider our own relationship to the earth, our own responsibility to nurture and care for and steward the gifts of the earth, rather than to strip the planet of its resources and destroy its beauty and wonder. But there's a whole series of sermons there. If we see again the deeply feminine expression of the divine in these words, then perhaps we would see the undermining, no, the deep challenge to a patriarchal misogynist theology that predominates, particularly in Western-based theologies. And I just want to say some closing words about the passage from Revelation. Don't get your theology from Revelation. Please, that's kind of controversial. Please do not try and literalize what is a vision and what is meant to inspire, to give a sense of wonder, of the transcendent. See, it's my favorite word this evening. I've used it twice. Of the awe-inspiring otherworldliness of a passage like this, the glimpse of the worship of heaven. Leave it. Let it be. I mean, I did like that there was a rainbow in it. We've got them, one of them at the back of our church. Though I don't get how a rainbow can look like emerald. But then I don't think I'm meant to get it. I think that's the point. In short, you'll be glad to know, after feeling somewhat overwhelmed by the amount of unpacking our morning scriptures needed, I was pretty nervous about having the same to go through this evening. It turns out, though, that as is so often the case, alongside the stuff which has been used to harm and oppress within our scriptures, there is wonder and beauty and poetry, an encouragement to live out the values of respecting creation, loving one another, valuing the feminine, and being taken out of ourselves for just a moment to see something beyond imagining, something transcendent. Thanks be to God. Amen.